hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Reno's in. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. Dial 775 in the north. Why? Because there's an office in Reno and in Summerlin and in Vegas and in Henderson. Willie Ramirez is here with us. He's nice enough to join us on Cofield and Company while he does 3 hours of his live show on TikTok. James, with the setup here, Treasure Island is wonderful. They served us an absolute feast. We'll have to put out some pictures. I'm a creature of habit with the Southpaw chicken tenders. And by the way, Packers and Eagles are going to kick off in a little bit here. The game's here. I'm telling you, if you're not paying attention, you're going to hit some places in town where they're like, NBC, right? Peacock. You're going to be at home. NFL, let's watch it. Peacock. So this is a great place. Parking's free. Menu's awesome. Drink specials. It's a Friday. You can hang with us and watch the game at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar.
And unless you are like company member Adam Hill, who how many years ago said, everybody, get the lifetime deal.
Why didn't we listen? He knew big things were on the way for those guys. Or at
you
least
you got to hand it to Adam.
Well, when it comes to stuff like that, coming. Didn't, yeah. You think he knew the NFL was coming?
No, but I just – no, because back then, I don't think he knew, but in a sense he knew that what was coming as a whole with sports, because he's a big soccer guy, so he knew he was going to be able to watch every damn soccer game.
Stupid! So I should have signed up. Why didn't I do it?
I want you to find that show and make a clip and make a promo of it.
Yes, we're going to find that show. Yes, because we keep all of our archives at Lotus Broadcasting. Yeah. We go very
air check.
We go very deep. We're 3 weeks deep. Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Willie loves the days of celebration. I'm not talking traditional days of celebration, but there's national days.
The silly ones.
Yesterday was massive. I'm actually surprised you just didn't blow out today's days and reference yesterday. You know, yesterday was National Cheese Pizza Day.
Ooh. Yep. I'm glad that I didn't know that, because I probably would have celebrated National Cheese Pizza Day. And I'm in a certain... We just talked about this. Griffin and I did the other night after in the grab bag. I'm on a caloric deficit, and I cannot – that would blow me out for one – that would be it. I'd be done for my fat content for cheese pizza. But I definitely – and it's got to be New York style, of course, for me. Big slice.
Which, by the way, makes people so mad. They're like, what about Chicago pizza?
Or Detroit.
And then you fire back. You're like, I like New York.
You're right.
Okay.
There's nothing – when you say, what about Chicago? What about it?
Enjoy it.
It's great. It's fine.
Awesome.
It's good. You know, when I went on my trip
– not for us.
That first stop going to where I was going to Michigan, and I stopped in Champaign. I was referenced to a place on campus for the incredible deep dish Chicago, and two young ladies that I ran into, they're driving tooling around on the golf course. They said, No. Just go to this steakhouse. You'll be better off going to the steak. You like this steakhouse. So I went to the steakhouse instead. They steered me clear of delving into Chicago. And then when I went back to Chicago, I still didn't get the Chicago pizza. It's not that I don't like it. I just prefer getting New York.
Today is actually National Coffee Ice Cream Day. I mean, the specialization now is out of control.
It is.
There's like three ice creams we need. Four, maybe, that get their own day. The coffee ice cream is not one of them.
What are the four?
I don't know. Chocolate chip. What do you want?
No, I didn't say that. You said it. You're the one that just said, we should only have three or four. So I ask you which ones. You go, well, I don't know. What do you think?
Chocolate chip for sure.
Okay.
I'm a creature of habit. I would have mint chocolate chip, but I'm not going to overload the four choice, the Mount Rushmore of ice cream.
Oh, so now we got to do a Mount Rushmore of ice
cream.
Griffin,
what do you want to throw in? You're a very plain guy. You want to throw in vanilla?
Vanilla? That's insulting. I like
Neapolitan. You want to go with the strawberry, the chocolate, and?
Give me the Neapolitan for sure.
Okay. Willie? Don't be a butter pecan guy, please.
I was going to say praline cream. Same thing.
Come on. It's got to be kind of mainstream. Now you're being ridiculous.
So wait a minute. So we each get to put one, but I have to go
have to
abide
right.
by your rule.
You have to be correct.
Oh, I see.
Well, Mount Rushmore, it's not Chester Arthur on Mount Rushmore.
Settle down, Turbo. It's Friday. Bring your manners
to
work
day. We've opened up a conflict Friday on a Mount Rushmore of ice cream. Which, by the way, I hate the Mount Rushmore topic in general, but it is National Coffee Ice Cream Day, and whoever is this big coffee or is this big ice cream? We always talk about these promotions. So who
that's
did this?
True. Could it be? Is it actually a coffee holiday or is it an ice cream holiday? It could be one or the other.
I would accept Big Cookie coming in and saying
Big Cookie.
Yes, some sort of cookie ice, cookies and cream ice cream.
So what's on the Mount Rushmore of cookies? Are you going Crumble? You going Toll House? Oreo? I mean, so now you've opened up a big Mount Rushmore.
Yep. You know how we end that. Number three.
Number three.
Boy, the Ravens were pissed last night. I don't blame them. I'm not even mad at Isaiah Likely for basically saying, you know what? Yeah, we're coming back in the playoffs. Okay? You got us now. That was the worst game we played. A lot of saltiness last night. Here's Roquan Smith after the game, who apparently was very, very pissed off at one of the Chiefs' tight ends.
He flopped. He flopped. That's why the referees didn't call it. It was a great call, a great no call by the ref. But whoever 88 is, I don't know who he is, but he better watch himself.
Did he grab you? He did
a little slick push.
Was there somebody on the sideline that pushed you as well?
Yeah, whoever number 88 is. I have no idea who he is, but I'll see him when I see him.
It's Charlie Kolar from Iowa State. Anyone? I think we covered him a couple years ago. Kolar, 6'7", 255. So
they're salty. Are they actually angry with themselves?
You think he heard that about Roquan Smith? And he's like, oh, my God, I'm scared.
Oh, there's someone definitely got that to him. There's no doubt about it. How bad of a game did the Ravens actually have, or was it miscues in specific situations? I mean, Lamar Jackson finishes with, 300 or 400 yards of offense?
I mean, do we want to address this? The tackles, where are they supposed to line up? Can we get some consistency here? Because Ronnie Stanley, Vegas guy, got hit a couple times. And then meanwhile, everyone's like, the Chiefs tackle, it moves on every freaking play. It moves early on every play.
A lot of mistakes. They got to fix them.
Well, but my point is, if we're making calls, it doesn't seem like the officials are on the same page as the players.
So the officials had a bad game, is what you're saying.
I don't know.
Oh.
I know this. If I'm a player, I'm like, what are the rules? Right. What are you going to call and
Absolutely.
What are you going to let go?
Absolutely. Maybe the preseason should be more just as much for the referees as it is the players.
Number two.
Number two.
I'm curious to see what Devontae Adams' attitude is going to be here the next 3 weeks if the Raiders get off to a slow start. I think it was one of the stories of the summer. He'll try to downplay that. But he was in receiver. Again, it was last season where he was talking about his future with the Raiders. It was getting frustrating. And I know it was last season, but he's also done it before that. And then he said, no, that was taken out of context. And then this offseason, he also talked about, hey, Brady would be great to have on the team. Do you want Brady or do you want these guys? And now a story came out a few weeks ago about DeSean Jackson saying Devontae Adams isn't happy. You ask me who do I believe in this case?
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson. I think Devontae Adams is a history revisionist with his own words, oftentimes.
Or does he leave interpretation open and it was taken out of context in terms of it was put in DeSean Jackson's context, but Devontae crafted it in a way in which he could, if it were ever come back, he said, no, that's not what I meant. And so if that conversation was ever revealed, then he can say, you see, that's not necessarily how.
Which you're right. He does that. So did he do it with a guy that, you know, he was talking to?
I think so.
I don't even know if they're friends. He's claiming,
right.
They
could just be homies, right? They could just be texters. They could just be, hey, I got this podcast thing, or hey, I saw a receiver, hey, whatever. Well, it could be anything because it came out after, the topic came up as receiver hit with Netflix, and then we saw the dissension that he had. You asked about what Devontae is going to be like after a few games. I think if this team, if Gardner Minshew and him are on the same page and the team puts forth a stellar effort and they just didn't get it done, but it's not on the fault of effort and work ethic and they just weren't the better team, I don't think he'll be as salty. But if we start seeing miscues and we start seeing a discombobulated team with no chemistry, he's 100% going to be pissed off.
Top story.
Number one.
Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Are you ready for FI? I can't do it. It's the dumbest thing ever. FNIA. Are you ready for FNI? Are you ready for FNIA? Football Night in America. That's what they branded this on Peacock.
How do you just say it? FNIA?
FNIA.
FNIA.
FNIA. FNIA.
Well, then you're kind of saying F, Nia.
Yeah.
Don't mispronounce that and disrespect our girl, Nia.
We might get dumped. I think it's Nia, but Nia. We might get dumped here in a second. Good that's attempt right. on the that's joke. Right. F-N-I-A.
F-N-I-A. I like that. I like that better.
What does IA mean? Come on, it's obvious. In America.
Because you know what? Right now, with the, I'm not even going to say
is
that.
Is there an owner or a commissioner in American sports that you would stand in line for to get a selfie with?
Yeah.
There is?
Sure.
Who?
Kathy Engelbert.
You're a media member. You got access to her.
Then what'd you ask me for?
As a fan.
I'm a media member for every single major sport. All five. Oh, not baseball, and I'm done. No. Sorry.
For the audience that can't answer right now.
Oh, okay.
Although we're live right now on Twitter and Facebook and IG Live. Because I just witnessed some video on F-N-I-A, of Brazilian fans lined up to get a picture with Roger Goodell.
Well, because they're hoping to get a team.
Is that what it is?
They're lobbying. Yeah, they want to be,
hey,
you know.
Is it Roger Goodell?
And they're whispering in his ear, screw London. Come over here.
Hey, Jerry, I got 78 Brazilian fans getting selfies with me. I think they need a team.
Yes.
Okay, Raj, go back to your office. Just pat on the head.
Raj on the hotline to Mark Davis and Jerry. And
all right, how is this division? We got a battle right out of the gates with the Chargers and your Las Vegas Raiders. How is this AFC West speak? How is this AFC West going to break down at the end of the season? What's 1 through 4?
You're asking me?
Yep.
Kansas City.
Do it.
Denver.
I knew you were going to do that.
Las Vegas. Los Angeles. I will put an asterisk in that Vegas and L.A. could possibly finish with an identical record. That's why tomorrow Sunday's game is very important.
Identical of what? 7 wins? 6?
Whatever the record is.
5?
No, I'm not giving you that.
Well, I mean, at some point you're going to say no, they're not going to win 4 games. They're each going to win 4 games. Say no.
F and Ia.
I don't know if you're saying it the right way. We haven't really locked down how to say it yet. That does sound better. That sounds a little bit.
Do you know what you're saying when you say F and Ia, right? F and in America.
Well, that could be that could be angry or happy.
Sure, I guess.
Could actually be an action.
In an election year.
Hey, what? My order is Kansas City, Chargers, Raiders, Broncos. And I'll put a bet on the floor. By the way, we have to revisit our bet from yesterday. We haven't cemented it.
It was Wednesday. No disclaimer. Where's the disclaimer? The SO, by the way, Chargers. I'm not saying that's why you picked that.
No, that's not part of it. Yeah. I will potentially give you a Chargers gap to the Broncos. Remember we did that? Wasn't it Kansas City to the Raiders a couple years ago?
Yeah.
A win gap.
I got blasted.
What's an acceptable win gap? You already have the Chargers finishing behind, so this should be an easy bet for you. I'm saying the Chargers will be ahead of the Broncos by how many games? You think about that during the break.
Yeah, I got it.
You think about that.
I'm going to think about it. Here's the problem. I'm more worried about the Aces tonight in that bet because I got to go on a 7-0 run, and they're in Connecticut.
Hey, you're in trouble. You are in big trouble. We'll come back. Patrick Berbert, TI Risk Supervisor here at the Sportsbook. We'll check in, get us some information on this game and also the college and NFL slate.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, Risk Supervisor at the Treasure Island Sportsbook, Patrick Berbert, joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Patrick is here with us. What's going on, buddy?
I'm excited for football to be back.
It's been a while.
That time of the year, yeah.
Been a while, right? You know, it's funny. Tirico kept saying it was 206 days. That doesn't even sound right, does it? Is that right? 206 days, the last time we saw the NFL, you know, when they rolled out Thursday Night Football. I'm like, I don't know. That seems weird to me. All right, so we got Packers-Eagles tonight. And we got to keep saying Peacock is a pain in the you-know-what, right? A lot of people don't have it, and you guys have it.
Absolutely, yep. We have it on in the pregame right now, so we're good to go with that.
And I think there's going
to
be a lot of sports bars around town who are like freaking out because they're like, oh, it's on NBC. No, they got certain games behind a paywall, and you got to make sure you have the game. So Packers-Eagles. Tell me what's happening in terms of trends here, sharp side and beyond.
Absolutely. Actually, right before I came on the radio here, that line just steamed down to Eagles 1, and most of the market was 1.5, 2 sitting there. So there's some line movement there at the end. I think the sharper side all week, it's been kind of split action, but the sharper side all week has been on the Packers for this game. The Eagles have some question marks coming in. You know, they were a little cold at the end of last year, but they have two coordinator changes on offense and defense. So it could be a little while for them to get adjusted, whereas the Packers were total opposite. They hit their stride at the end of last year, and there's a lot of chemistry going into year two with Jordan Love starting.
I saw a graphic of the flight pattern, 9 hours from Philly, which means it's going to be a little bit more. Do you take in consideration, or do you think the line, however it's been moved on air, if you're watching on the screen, but the total in terms of these guys by the time they get over there, where that total is laying in terms of their travel?
That could play a little bit of a factor, you know, like as well as you're talking about the travel, the Packers, since they're the away team, their hotel also be farther from the stadium. And from what I'm hearing is they had to take a two-hour bus ride to the stadium today to get ready for the game. So, you know, you could be a little uptight to start the game, but I don't think it's going to affect it too much.
College football tonight. Let's get to the game that's coming up, and then we'll get an update on SMU and BYU. Any decent action on Northwestern and Duke? And we've bounced this around with our handicappers. Northwestern is playing the next 2 years at about a 8,000-seat stadium right on the lake. I don't know if that's good for home field or bad, but did you see anything with Duke and Northwestern?
No, Duke has a big roster turnover. Obviously, they've lost their coach from last year. And new quarterback as well as Riley Leonard is gone. But I think this is going to be a really ugly game between Duke and Northwestern. I think both teams are going to have trouble moving the ball. The total's low. I think last I checked, it was 36.5. So that says a lot right there. But I think some of the hardcore fans are betting these two college football games. But it's being really overlooked, I think, by the NFL game tonight, first ever Friday game.
College football tomorrow night, Texas, Michigan, and tomorrow day. It's all Saturday, Texas, Michigan.
On paper, I'm really excited for this game, but I'm a little worried what I saw from Michigan last week. Their quarterback play wasn't that good. Hopefully, their defense can keep them in the game because Quinn Ewers looked really good last week. He's got a good connection with Isaiah Bond, who came over from Alabama. So I think Texas is going to move the ball really well.
Old school Big 12 rivalry from back in the day, and of course, prime time bringing a lot of attention to Boulder, Colorado, and Nebraska.
That game is going to attract a lot of action here. Everybody comes to the window. They want to bet Colorado. And, you know, Shador Sanders, he's got Travis Hunter and he's got Jimmy Horn Jr. to throw to. So that offense is really good. And then Nebraska also has one of the top quarterback recruits and future prospects in Dylan Raiola. And he's got some weapons he can throw the ball to. So this could be a really good shootout. And I think it's going to be one of the best games tomorrow to watch.
Alabama laying a big number, as it always does. Can South Florida hang with them and maybe sneak inside the number?
South Florida did last year against Alabama. But Kalen DeBoer, he's come over. And everywhere he's been, he's shown that he's a winner. He still has Jalen Moreau back, who was in the College Football Playoff last year. So I think Alabama is going to roll, and they're gonna get ready for SEC play in kind of these matchups where they're gonna play weaker opponents right now.
The Pac-2 gets its Mountain West involvement, if you will. Oregon State laying 6 to San Diego State.
Yeah, that's an interesting game. Oregon State, they had a huge turnover as well, and San Diego State hasn't been good for quite a few years. San Diego State and Oregon State, I'm not really thinking too much of this game right here. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. San Diego State has a freshman quarterback, but I think they're going to look to run the ball because Marquez Cooper ran for 200-plus yards last week. So I think there's going to be a lot of run in this game, and we're going to look to see a low total.
And, of course, kickoff at noon. We are once again here, Patrick Berber, TI Treasure Island, here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, risk supervisor here at the Sportsbook. Patrick, right up the street at noon, kickoff. Everybody's excited about UNLV football. Do you have a line on the game?
Yes, we do as well. As far as the line on that game, there's just so many games to look at. I'm not sure what the number is right off the top of my head, but that's going to be it's going to be a really interesting game to watch. UNLV, they beat Houston last week, and they look good. They were the underdog in that game, and they were able to be dominant. So I'm really excited to see what they can do this week.
NFL, let's start out with Steelers, who I like, getting 3 against the Falcons.
Yeah, that's an interesting game. There was an injury report today that Russell Wilson is questionable with some more calf injuries going on that he's been dealing with all throughout camp that has held him back. So it was a really interesting line movement when that injury came out, because it moved the Falcons from 3 up to like 3.5, 4. And I think that Justin Fields, if he was to play, would be an upgrade over Russell Wilson. So that caught me a little by surprise.
Yeah. What do we got? Looks like I guess, listen, Lions move. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily action on the other side. Patriots, are they – is there sharp money on the Patriots against the Bengals?
There absolutely is sharp money on the Patriots. They're good. I don't think that they can beat the Bengals, but I think that this number might be a little big on this week. You know, all throughout camp, Ja'Marr Chase has been holding out due to the contract situation. T. Higgins today is, as of last that came on the radio, he is doubtful as well. So Joe Burrow might not have a lot of weapons to throw to, and they're going to be prepping, trying to get really healthy for next week. They play Kansas City. So I think the Bengals might be overlooking this game a little bit.
I mean, how many games are the Patriots involved in this year where their team total, I don't even know what it – I mean, would you be confident betting over 17.5 with the Patriots in any game for their team total?
I can't do it. I can't do it. I mean, they're going with Jacoby Brissett to start over Drake May. They're looking for some veteran leadership for the rookie to learn behind. But just the rest of that team as a whole, we saw it last year. I don't think that they have the team to really put up points on anybody.
Game I'm certainly interested in, only because I am a big believer in Caleb Williams. Bears laying 3.5 against the Titans.
Yeah, this is a really exciting game. Obviously, all the hype is on Caleb Williams this year. I saw a stat that rookie QBs that go number one overall are like 0-14 in their last like 14 games. But I think it's a little different. You know, a rookie QB that was drafted first overall hasn't come into a situation with a star-studded offense like Caleb is. He's got great receivers all around him. He's got a good running back room. All three running backs are competing for that number one spot. The defense plays really well. And I'm not a firm believer in Will Levis yet, and that defense is suspect as well. So I think this is going to be a really good game, but I think the Bears are able to squeak it out.
I picked the Bucs to win their division. I like Baker Mayfield. I like what they got in place. Commanders. The Commanders have upside, and we don't know what Jane Daniels could be the next great thing. It might not be Caleb Williams, so we don't know the impact. They've got a whole new regime in there. So what are we doing this game with the Bucs? Where are you guys sitting at, 3.5?
We're sitting at 3.5. I think this game should be closer to like 4.5 number. The Bucs, obviously, they made the playoffs last year. They have a lot of veterans on their offense and defense. Like you said, Baker Mayfield leading that quarterback. Mike Evans is consistent as any wide receiver in the league. Chris Godwin's moving back to the slot, and that's where he's had most of his success. And they have a good running back duo now in Rashad White and Bucky Irvin, who they drafted. So I think that the Buccaneers' veteran leadership is going to be able to put some pressure on the Commanders, who are young and still going through some growing pains.
People are really excited about the Detroit Lions. Are you?
I believe in them. Last year they had a really good year, but the year before that they were really hot towards the end of the year as well. So they've been one of the hottest teams in football since they've been on that huge run. So I'm really excited to see what the Lions could do. I mean, they had a shot to go to the Super Bowl this past year against the 49ers. Some questionable coaching decisions actually cost them that game, but I think that the Lions are going to live up to the hype that they're getting.
Okay, I like that comment you made there, because we saw Harbaugh last night. He's going for two, if that touchdown counts. He went for a 4th-and-3, gave the ball back midfield to the Chiefs. Are those calls questionable? Because I think Dan Campbell and John Harbaugh share the same thoughts on analytics.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a lot that goes into it, but I'm not a fan of it. I think that they should have kicked the extra point there if they were going to the touchdown was going to be good, because with the new overtime, and I don't like it.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Get on down here tonight. You can bet the game. You can watch the game on Peacock. It's Eagles and Packers. They're in Brazil. You can watch the Saturday slate. We do have another college football game tonight. Saturday slate, great spot here as Jared and Danny will be on the scene with Throw the Flag. They'll go from 9 until 11. Remember, tomorrow, right after the game at 11 a.m., we go live with the Learfield Ted Wiens pregame show over at Allegiant. It'll be myself along with play-by-play voice Matt Neverett, who did a wonderful job last week. It was hot in that booth, by the way. No air conditioning.
Wear a hoodie. and a sweatsuit.
When
I say sweatsuit, plastic
dude,
suit.
Dude, in Houston, if I had worn a hoodie.
You wouldn't have made it back. You'd come back as a glass of water.
I don't want to give out too many details.
No. Well, then you're not.
Okay. One, I didn't pee the entire game, and I drank a lot. Now, two, I also had a crap ton of barbecue 2 hours out from the game, so maybe that affected my body chemistry on the field because I could not stop sweating. Well, you think the ribs, the brisket, the mac and cheese, the dirty rice?
There's no telling everything that you ate.
Is that a good healthy meal right before you're rolling out in 90 degrees and 88% humidity?
There's no telling with you.
Coming back, we'll get you a quick preview of the Aces game tonight and right back to college football and the NFL.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Don't forget, these are the final days. Really not even the days. It's basically a day. About 22 hours. But you can get into one of the great contests in town, Circa Million, Circa Survivor, $16 million prize guaranteed. No rake. Million. You got to pick five against the spread every week, quarterly and season-ending prizes. Survivor, one winner straight up each week. You win, you advance. You lose, you're out. Deadline's tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Any of the Circa Sportsbooks in town and also Legends Bay in Reno. Get in. Cofield & Company is in Circa Million. You want more information? CircaLasVegas.com. What do we got for a number for the Aces tonight? As this is a really key road trip in terms of playoff seeding. I don't think they're going to rise much higher in the overall seedings, but they could fall back, and falling back is not a good thing.
Yeah, Vegas and Connecticut. Minnesota and Indiana just tipped off, and Vegas and Connecticut are about to. And those are two critical games all surrounding one another, realistically, because Minnesota and Vegas are tied at for the three seed. Or, excuse me, Connecticut and Minnesota are tied for the 2 and 3 seed, where Vegas is in fourth. So there's a lot of connection there based on and important games, right, in terms of where they're at. Minnesota playing Indiana, Vegas and Connecticut, all four playing, or the Liberty, add in the Liberty there, and add in the Fever. We're talking about some teams that have been competitive. Arguably, since the Olympic break, Indiana's playing as good as the top teams in the league. So, I mean, four of the top teams that will definitely be in the playoffs are facing one another, and they're critical games at this point for playoff jockeying because a lot of the teams do not want to face the Fever in that opening round. Vegas, right now, as we speak, I'm looking across the board, or closed. Game is underway, 1.5. On the road in Connecticut.
We got more heat with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Griffin, you sent over a story today. Angel Reese now blaming Clark fans for the media's fixation on their rivalry.
Yeah, it looks like Angel Reese, instead of going into it and really leaning into the rivalry, she's more just trying to put blame on media members and saying, it's fabricated. Me and her don't, this rivalry is not as big as you guys make it out to be.
Okay. I will respond for the entire media.
Okay.
Okay. You're banned from the show.
Dang.
Enjoy what you're getting in terms of media coverage.
Mm.
Don't, like, literally, we are the hand that feeds you. We've hyped this up. You guys are going to make so much money. Cut it out with the media this and the media that. Because I got to tell you, Willie, when you sent over your stories about the WNBA today, I was like, the audience is going to be pissed off that we're putting on WNBA in the middle of a football Friday show.
Right.
But I like talking about it, and I think they deserve a couple of minutes. But, I mean, she doesn't know. And you know what? We live in this environment where people have villainized the media. We're helping pay the checks, okay?
Okay.
So that's my reaction. I know it's not the most mature reaction, but I understand they have to find an enemy.
Angel Reese is somewhat right, but the problem is what's our biggest gripe, Steve, with people that are getting credentials? Everybody's a media member if they're on press row and they got a lanyard around their neck. They got a temporary, they got a game day credential, they got a season credential. Everybody all of a sudden is a media member. Now, yes, we've heard Stephen A. Smith with his attacks. We heard Monica McNutt, Andrea Carter. show on a national level, but we've also snapped back and said when he said, oh, I'm the only one that's covered it for so much, when actually Cofield and Company has been covering WNBA on radio far, far more than a lot of markets, and we've been talking about it. But where this rivalry has grown and what she's talking about is the people, the bloggers, the people that have decided to create sites, and that sounds hypocritical because I upgraded WGRamirez.com to start doing WNBA, but I've also been covering it. The fact of the matter is they're taking context, they're making the videos, they're tweeting out certain things, they're tweeting out certain videos, so they all create a rivalry and create the narrative that they want to push forward for clicks. So in a sense, maybe it's the PR departments that are credentialing the wrong people.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
The Ion Sports Gambling is brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, just south of Trop. Every Friday, we're lucky enough to be joined by Kenny White, legendary handicapper winner. Willie's here. It's Cofield. Kenny, how you doing, buddy? What are you doing for this game tonight? We'll get Kenny up here in a second.
I kind of like the over. The football game, the NFL game. I like the over, even though we asked Patrick, you know, just in terms of the travel and the, you know, how it could play with their, you know, their legs and their, you know, whatever. I mean, traveling to Brazil. But I think it's going to be a sluggish first half. And I think it could play under, but I think it's going to be a big second half where Hurts and Love are going to have a nice big second half against some, I don't want to say bad defenses, but they're in the lower half in terms of efficiency until we see something different past the first couple of weeks. And I think it'll be a big second half, a big show, and I think it goes over the posted total.
By the way, Oasis every day has a daily special, daily dinner special. On Fridays, they always have the steak, lobster and shrimp special.
Okay.
Today also added to the menu is Chipotle chicken and shrimp kebab with spam beans, cilantro, lime rice, and macaroni salad. That is a feast.
I'll send out
the picture they sent me.
Yeah.
Because we communicate every day.
Sure you do.
So that is a hell of a special. Get over, grab your dinner. Great kitchen at Oasis Bar and Grill.
I can fit that into my macros.
One of my favorite local bars. I'm going to finish the read here. Oasis Bar and Grill. What were you saying?
I was just commenting. I wasn't really trying to interrupt. My bad.
Sorry.
Fit that in my macros. That sounded good.
What are macros?
Macronutrients are based on your caloric intake. So if I have to take in 2,100 calories, within there, you're taking in X amount of grams of carbs, X amount of grams of fat, X amount of grams of protein, which make up your caloric intake.
Let's bring in Kenny White. I want to hear more about this in the 5 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Because I need lessons. Kenny White's with us. Kenny, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Steve.
Yep, we got you, buddy.
How you doing? Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Good deal. Let's get into some games here. First with Michigan and Texas.
Well, this should be a really good litmus test, I think, for both teams, Steve. The Michigan team, I took the points with Michigan in this game. Not afraid to. I think the defense is outstanding. And I think that's, the biggest part of the game. I think traveling on the road for Sarkisian has been tough. He's 8-12 ATS. I think another key to this game is Michigan's defense, now led by Wink Martindale, is going to be blitz happy. And if Ewers doesn't pick it up in time, I think he could create a couple of turnovers, or that defense can. So Wink Martindale's one of the best. You know him from the NFL, and here he is with Sherrone Moore. So the cupboard's not bare because Harbaugh's gone. I have this offense ranked 17th in college football, the defense number 6. And as a team, I think they're the eighth most talented team in the country. So they do have a target on their back. But this is going to be a tough game. I think it comes right down to the wire.
Kenny, something about a stadium tour when you're on the road that makes you intrigued with the game. I took a 3-week journey and stopped in Fayetteville and Stillwater just last month, driving home. The Razorbacks visiting the Cowboys in a reconstructed stadium. What do you think about that game?
You know, Arkansas is, I think, rebuilding. Sam Pittman's on the hot seat. We'll see what happens. He brought in Bobby Petrino to try to kickstart the offense that really fell last year. Yards per play, 114th in the country. They're gonna be a little bit more pass happy than they have with Petrino. They're gonna play fast. Talen Green's a really good quarterback, but he didn't have the greatest stats in the world. He's more of a dual threat guy and uses his legs. Passing for Boise State, 57%, 6.8 yards a pass, 11 touchdowns, 9 INTs. Those aren't the greatest stats, but he is a great, he is a very athletic quarterback and can make plays. Gundy has a full plethora of weapons. I think he has the highest returning production number in college football. They had an outstanding year last year. He's great at home, 68 and 50 ATS. I think this is a far more talented team. This number went from 9 to 7, and now it's back up to 10. I think you can lay 9, 9.5 still. I made it 17. I think Oklahoma State blows them out. I have South Dakota State rated almost as high as Arkansas. I think they would give them a battle, and Oklahoma State beat them up 44-20 last week.
Old school Big 12 rivalry from back when conferences were fun, and we weren't talking about power or super conferences, right? Colorado, Nebraska.
Yeah, you're right. This was a rivalry at one time. I can remember some great games between these two schools. I'm riding the Colorado Kool-Aid train here. Deion, I think, does a very good job of bringing talented players in. He knows guys that will fit his system. I think he brings in quality athletes that are good people on and off the field. So he doesn't have problems with that. And his son being the quarterback, big leader on this team, I think that sometimes he falls into the trap of being a little too aggressive because his kid's the quarterback. But this team's got a lot of good athletes. I think they're a top 40 team, 36th in the country. I have Nebraska number 47. I made Nebraska a small favorite here, -1. Colorado did win the game last year, 36-14. Matt Rhule, he's in his second year. I think he's still trying to figure things out there in Nebraska. He's got a freshman quarterback who's very talented, but Colorado's got the better quarterback in this game. I'll take the Buffaloes.
Speaking with legendary handicapper Kenny White. Kenny, let's switch to the NFL. We got a game kicking off in about 30 minutes over in Brazil, Green Bay at Philadelphia.
Yeah, I bet this one. I laid the points with the Eagles. I think they're just a better all-around football team than the Green Bay Packers. Looking at their head coach's record, Matt LaFleur, outstanding record, 57-26. And I thought it was wrong when I wrote it in my book. I had to go back and check. Is this true? That's an amazing record. But he was 39-10 in his first 3 years with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. Year four, Aaron Rodgers getting older. They went 8-9. They get rid of Rodgers. Jordan Love becomes the quarterback, 9-8. He's 17-17 the last 2 years. Great quarterbacks will make you look good. So I'm not so for sure that we got a great coach here. I think he's about an average NFL head coach. I think their talent is about average right now. And the Philadelphia Eagles, their offense is one of the best in the game. And I think early on in the season, offense will rule. And I think the Eagles win this game by a score here tonight. I love the wide receiver group. With Jalen Hurts at quarterback, he's got great weapons. And now they got Saquon Barkley. So they just keep getting richer on offense. Their defense, a little shaky on their defense. I think they're below average defensively. But that offense is so good, they're going to score a lot.
You can find Kenny up on Twitter at KYDVegas. Also, KennyWhiteSports.com to get all this information and much, much more. All right, more NFL. I was looking at the Giants, believe it or not, in the Giants-Vikings game, but maybe you have a better option with the total.
Yeah, I bet it under, Steve. When you're looking at this game, Daniel Jones coming back from an injury, I think it's going to be a very conservative offensive approach. And their defense is solid. The Giants' defense have got rated extremely high. Burns and Lawrence on the D-line. Orokoki, the linebacking, one of the best in football. So those three guys are outstanding players. They're going to be very solid defensively. Minnesota lost a lot of guys. You're going to bank on Sam Darnold. So we got Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones, the two quarterbacks in this game. That's the big reason why I'm under here.
Yeah. You know, the situation with the Saints and the Panthers ain't much better. I would say between Bryce Young and Derek Carr, you're talking about two bottom eight quarterbacks in the National Football League. And there's probably a total play to be had here, too.
Yeah, you know, I have to focus on unders in the first week because these guys don't play anymore. You know, you guys probably aren't old enough to remember, but they used to play six preseason games and 14 regular season games. Well, with six preseason games, guys played in three or four of those games. The starters did. The starters played almost three quarters in week four or week five. Now they don't play in preseason. The quarterback for the 49ers, Brock Purdy, threw 19 passes, and some guys didn't play at all. So week one and two in the NFL, the regular season is now the true preseason. These guys are nowhere near in midseason form, not even close. They're not even in really week one shape. So that's why the under is so good in week one. 32-16 under the last 3 years. And the average total has gone under by 4 points. So I'm looking for under bets. I'm looking at Carolina again. I think this offense is still going to sputter. And defensively, they seem like they're a little bit improved here. But I still don't know Bryce Young. I think it's still a question mark whether he's going to be a guy in the NFL that can succeed. And then their opponent on the other side, New Orleans, you know, we saw Derek Carr here. He's getting older. I don't think they make the right decisions a lot of times. I think they get more conservative this year. I think you're going to see a little bit more dunk and dink passing and a lot of running and move that clock.
Kenny, I've got 90 seconds combined for these next two. Kenny White's with us, kennywhitesports.com. Titans-Bears, you want to go under on this one too?
Yeah, I'll go under there as well, Steve. Just a strong defense, I think. You got the first pick in the draft as a quarterback. Tennessee is going to be very conservative on offense, too. So their defense is decent. Chicago's done a nice job building their D as well. Oh, excuse me. Got to hit the cough button. I'm back.
Finish strong if you can.
I will. What's the last game, Steve?
And the last game was Lions and Rams. We got four and a half on that one. We got about 30 seconds.
I love this Lions team. I'm down on the Rams. I'm high on the Lions. The Lions beat KC last year on the road the first game. Dan Campbell has his team prepared. I think they win this game by two touchdowns.
Kenny, you are the man. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for making these regular spots with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
KennyWhitesports.com, K Whitey, Vegas. By the way, EY on Whitey, because our good friend Alex White goes with the EE. Last name White's pretty common on Twitter, so you got to come up with something creative. Ramirez, too? I don't know how you got Willie Ramirez. Well, you did G.
You know, here's a very big pet peeve for me.
Uh-oh. Am I in trouble?
No.
Okay.
When you order something or you DoorDash something or you order something, and then when you pull up in, you know, like Starbucks or wherever, and they spell Willie with a Y. It's not. It should automatically be IE.
How common is that? I'm the same way, man. You give me a PH in the middle of Steven.
Yeah.
It's on.
I'm going to start doing it.
I don't want to get myself in trouble. I was going to start smearing the Stevens, the
Stephen.
Well, it's Steven, but it's PH.
You have your PhD.
Okay.
I don't know in what, but
hanging out. We are. Come on, kick this game off. Let's go.
We're almost hours.
Please.
We're also close to.
I'm ready for the Eagles and Packers.
Kickoff of Gorman and Modern Day.
That's right. That's coming up at what, 7 o'clock?
Yes.
All right, Peacock game is coming up here. Willie's going to make his season predictions for the National Football League. We're live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.